Good evening. The time is now 5:02 PM and the Warwick Finance Committee is in session. I open the committee with an acceptance request for an acceptance for minutes for the committee meeting held on May 20th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. On to PCR 64-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have, oh, we're good to go. Okay. How about that? First is bid 2025-067, Comprehensive Plan Grant, MTAP, Municipal Technical Assistance Program. Madam Clerk, per request of a member of the council, may I have a PCR?
Is that PCR 6624? Thank you.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. So this is a revenue grant. It is from Rhode Island Housing. It's from the Municipal Technical Assistance Program, and it's specific to housing, the housing element of the comprehensive plan. So as you know, we're working on the comp plan right now. It's set to expire in August. It's undergoing a rewrite, which is, it's not a particularly in-depth rewrite at this point. It's to coincide with the decennial census. It's like the 10-year rewrite. It's got a 20-year planning horizon. So when we go into the comp plan, we're not going to like reconceptualize in-depth policy about land use and, for example, say like what we do with city center and things like that are just getting underway. So we're going to update demographic data and other data that coincides with the census. But as you know, the past few years, the housing market, you know, it's kind of done what it's doing. But this grant will be specific to that chapter and will utilize our same contractor who's working with the comp plan now to do more in-depth study of the housing chapter. So the grant is actually a $53,000 grant. It's passed through directly from Rhode Island Housing to our contractor, with the city being a partner and overseeing the work and, of course, participating in the work, which they'll do. It requires additional study that, say, the state planning department wouldn't ordinarily require us to do for a 10-year update. So it's not as if we're going to reduce our obligation in a cost to execute the comp plan. If you remember, I think it was $99,000 for that whole contract. So a portion of this $53,000, about half of it, will go to write down that cost obligation for the city. So if you have any other questions, I can try to answer them.
Thank you so much, Director. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Director.
Hi.
Just a quick one. So specific to housing, are you aware, are there like specific policies or specific language that Rhode Island Housing is trying to get into the comp plan?
No, it's not anything that's not going to be discussed with the planning board as well, I should add. You know, they might try to get more specific about affordable housing, I'm sure, you know, and what maybe explore what the city can do to try to create more workforce housing. But there'll probably be more specific needs analysis done. I wouldn't say an in-depth market analysis, but more than what you would typically do in a comp plan update, which is just to look at the census and see, you know, what are the numbers showing us. They might want to get more specific with our housing activity. In other words, how many building permits we've issued and where and for what types of units. You know, that kind of detail you typically wouldn't dive into. But yeah, it will go through the planning board and be public and certainly be discussed as we go along.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of this council? Councilman Sinapi.
Just a logistical one. When's the next public meeting regarding the comp plan?
Every month at the planning board, we are keeping the comp plan on the agenda. So we've been doing that now for about 5 months, I think. And every month we talk about a chapter or two. They're going to try to accelerate it to do two chapters a month. So people have been participating and communicating with me, you know, sending me ideas for policy updates or little tweaks here and there. So it will be on again on our next monthly meeting.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm the one that requested the PCR on this. Just out of abundance of caution, I'm going to abstain on this. I'm a board member, Board of Commissioners for Rhode Island Housing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further questions, comments from members of the council? Thank you. Are there questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? May I have a recommendation from this committee on PCR 66-24?
Action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you all.
Item number two is bid 2024-117, Draper Avenue Telecommunications Tower. Director?
Yes, this is also under revenue. It is to construct another cell tower in the vicinity of Gorton, across the street, where their maintenance facility is. The police and fire department will have space on this tower, so it'll improve emergency communications for them, as well as provide revenue for the city. We're starting with a base number of about, I think it was 24,000 or in change a year, and it comes with a 2% escalator over a period up to 30 years. We are negotiating it in 5-year increments. So it's not like we're locked in for 30 years with no opportunity to capture, you know, inflation. Every 5 years we can say, hey, maybe we got to increase this a little bit. But Dan Geegan was able to execute all this work along with all the other good work Dan did, which I'm completely depressed about because he's not here anymore. But he did a good job with this one. It's really the last one. I need to take it before the school committee. You're just awarding, if you would, the bidder. And of course, it has to then get designed. It'll go through the review process. You'll see it again after the planning board reviews it, you know, as part of the zoning requirements.
Thank you so much, Director. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
So I was just, maybe this is a note for purchasing, but I was, this one was confusing based on what was provided in our package in the binder versus what was available on the bid website. So you and I talked about it this morning, but it was not apparent in the bid package, the revenue schedule associated with this. It was in the, it was available in the supplement and the bid tabulation. So we found that and worked through it together today. I think the only other part from our conversation worth mentioning, and if you had mentioned it previously, I apologize, but that there's other benefits to the city from this particular arrangement, and that we get space on the tower for police and fire.
Right.
I think. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from this committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Hi.
I know that in here you say that it's suitable for three tenants and also includes space for municipal communications. Is there any discussion with putting any cell connections on this tower? Because that area around Draper, as well as several spots, at least three spots on West Shore Road, have total blackout on communication. Is that something that's in the works as well?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the solution to have the tower. The other one, if you remember, we approved up at Clegg Field, similar part of the city, but the northern side. This mm-hmm. would rectify those issues in the southern side as you get closer to the neck, if you will.
Okay. And would those businesses, would they also be paying for a spot on that tower?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
Just to clarify the councilman's question, Verizon or T-Mobile or whoever, they wouldn't pay additional fees to us. They would pay them to the owner of the tower.
Correct.
As a sublet.
And we get a record of what those exact arrangements are too.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser, does that follow up? Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of this council? Thank you, Director. Next is bid 2025-078, purchase of various police vehicles. Good evening, Major. Please identify.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Thank you, Major. And to begin, let's just get right down to the cleaning this up. You're going to request a PCR on this for an amendment, correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Clerk, am I correct? That PCR 67-24? Thank you so much. Major, just for the record, could you read in what your requests are?
Yes, sir. We're removing one vehicle from the purchase at this point. So the original docketed total was $953,258.38. We're subtracting one vehicle, which had a cost of $76,309.91. That will have the new bid total, $876,948.47.
Thank you so much, Major. And so we'll continue discussion, and then we'll go ahead and I'll request a motion on the amendments. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Evening. All right, thank you. So the removing the 76,000 gets you closer to what we approved in the budget of 800,000 in the fiscal year, but still over by about 75,000. What's the source of the other 75,000?
My understanding was that we're approved for a higher number than that. I don't think vehicles are in the budget line item per se in the police budget.
It's in the capital budget where you have $800,000 in fiscal 25 for vehicle fleet replacements under police.
Yeah, the figure I was made aware of was $1,060,000.
I will pull up the final packet. I don't recall us amending that total. I don't know if anyone from the administration has that handy, but I can certainly pull it up here. Budget book approved.
I thought I wrote it in my note. Oh, excuse me, Councilman. May I?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Major, I thought I wrote in my notes. This is, to follow up to the councilman's question, from my understanding, is this purely an ARPA?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So the ARPA, so I guess the question on the table is the ARPA line item that we approved in the budget was for $800,000. This expenditure is for $876,000. So what is the source of the additional $76,000?
Again, I apologize. My understanding, there was a higher figure. That was from my people at work.
Okay.
We also have carryover from a vehicle that was not purchased last year or an order that was canceled. That's a 68,000 in the area of 68,000, a vehicle that we didn't get last year.
Okay.
68,733.72. I know that would still be short of the number you have.
Okay, so that carried from the prior year. Yeah, I don't know. I thank you. I don't know where you're getting that million or whatever dollar figure from. Doesn't seem like anyone's jumping up from the administration to shed any light on that. So we'll just leave it as a question, I guess.
Hold on one moment, if I may, Councilman. Chief Vicente? We can table the question. We can continue, and then so you can get an answer. By chance, did you happen to hear the councilman's question about this purchase?
I did.
You did. Thank you. Do you have an answer yet, or would you like a little time?
I'm going to need some time.
Okay. We'll do. Is that okay? So what we'll do, Major, while that answer is sought, I will continue to go through. Oh, I'm sorry. He's concerned. Consulting.
So, Councilman.
Chief, could you just identify quick? Thank you.
Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. In the capital budget under police, vehicle fleet, there's $1,062,000 in FY25.
Where is it?
Page two of the capital.
So this would not be purely an opera purchase?
So I don't have the budget code.
I have it. Well, I have the code. So.
Well, why don't you just hold it and we'll get you an answer.
Say again, I'm so sorry.
Why don't you table it and we'll get you an answer.
Table it?
Yes.
You will. So what we'll do at request of the administration, I understand that there are members of the council that have the questions, but we will table it with once this committee approves. And then we'll come back to it once the administration acknowledges that they have the answers that were asked. Motion to table. Excuse me, one moment.
You want to just move past and come back?
Do I have to, Solicitor, must I make an official request to table, or can we just move forward and go back?
I think if you just you've made clear that we will revisit the item at the conclusion of it. It's the item has been removed from the consent calendar, and your intention would be to revisit it at the after we've concluded the consent calendar's business. So no motion would be necessary. Just that's where we're at. We can return to it when you finish the rest of the bid package.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you so much. Well, then we'll continue on and. We will address bid 2025-078, now PCR 67-24, at the end of the...
Mr. Chairman.
Chief.
So the capital budget, $1,062,000, it's not designated either OPER or line or general fund. So it's just capital expenditure of $1,062,000.
Got it.
So it's still OPER funds. It's just in the capital budget. It's $1,062,000.
Okay.
Got it. Thank
you. Understood. Thank you. Thanks for the explanation. Councilman, I stepped on your toes. Go ahead.
No,
do you have any follow-ups?
No, you're good.
Thank you.
That's all I need.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisel.
Yes. Thank you. Through the chair to Councilman Gebhardt. Do you agree with that number? You seem to have a pretty good handle on that.
Yeah, I see where it comes from now.
So the opera monies are there for almost $77,000.
What they had done in prior years was specify the source of the funds for any of the line items in the capital budget. So on the 23-24 budget, there was a source, either lease or ARPA. In the 24-25 budget, there's just a lump sum, no attribution to what account. So that's fine.
So my question to the finance director would be, as of today, not counting anything in the bid package, as of today, what is the balance remaining in the OPERA account?
Chief, so the councilman requested the finance director or someone from the administration. The ask is at this time. The ask is at this time. What is the balance in the ARPA allocation?
If you look at, and I should have brought my capital budget with me, but it's $1,062,000 that was budgeted for police vehicles this year, and the balance that was contemplated going into fiscal year 25. From what was just over $2.5 million. The budget that was approved by the council had $2.5 million of ARPA funds pledge and another $1.8 million of lease purchase that And we're fine-tuning the amount. There are certain things that could change, that could increase the amount of ARPA funds that are available for these purchases. And we'll be communicating with you, Mr. Chairman, as we fine-tune that. But the amount that was in the budget approved by the council for police vehicles from ARPA funds was $1,062,000.
Okay, so the answer to my question is, today, not counting anything that's in this bid package, we have $2.5 million still available in ARPA monies.
The estimate that you approved in the budget that was we would have just over $2.5 million left, which we have to have in purchase orders by December 31st,
understood,
2024. Understood.
So of this $2.5 million, we'll be deducting, assuming these requests get approved, from the $2.5 million, right? I'm just trying to get a handle as to, you know, when is the well going to run dry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a hard time hearing I in said, this building. I didn't hear that question.
Looking at the purchases we have now,
yes,
and I'll be making those deductions from the $2.5 million so I can have a handle as to when the well runs dry.
Well, I mean, if you look at the list in the budget, there are still other things that have not been approved yet. There's fire vehicles, and we've got some things in 24 that we need to resolve, whether we're going to, for example, relating to the City Hall Plaza, mm-hmm, and some other things, and I'll be communicating. There's no question that we have enough combination of ARPA funds and lease purchase to make the purchase of the annual police vehicle fleet and some other purchases. The mix between ARPA and lease purchase, we'll keep the council informed on, okay, that.
No, again, I get that. I understand it. Right now, I'm looking at tonight, we have over $1 million that's going to be coming out of 2.5. So I just wanted to get that starting number. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Okay. We'll wait for just one moment and I'll put a motion forward. So may I have a motion to amend PCR 2025-078, now PCR 67-24, from $953,258.38 to subtract $76,309.91 for the new bid total of $876,948.47.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Thanks, Major.
Thank you, Chief Staff, for the and the Finance Director. The next item will be bid 2025-073. This is the Warwick Fire Department purchase of 6 LifePak 35 Advanced Life Support Monitors. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening. Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department. Fire Department's requesting a 5610 piggyback on a State of Rhode Island bid, MPA 370, for automated external defibrillators and accessories, to award a contract to Stryker Sales Corporation. We're requesting authority to spend not more than $346,638.44 for the purchase of 6 LifePak 35 Advanced Life Support Monitors. Our current LifePak 15 monitors were purchased in 2013. They far exceeded the recommended 8-year service life. These LifePak ALS cardiac monitor defibrillators are a critical piece of equipment that's carried on all the city's transport and ambulances. Contains clinically advanced tools and technology for advanced patient care, including CPR analysis, advanced EKG interpretation, advanced respiratory monitoring, electrical therapy, real-time transmission to hospitals, as well as vital sign and blood gas monitoring. If approved, funding for this purchase will be from account 3210478, which is the opioid capital outlay.
Thank you, Chief. And to be clear, that the average life, the packs you have now, the 15, have been on in use for 11 years.
Correct.
And their average life is 8 years, or their recommended life is 8 years.
Correct. They're at the point now that they can't perform repairs on them because they can't find replacement parts. They can't promise that where they get replacement parts available to replace them.
Thank you. And this is part of the direct services to the citizens?
Correct.
Thank you. And anyone who may need the medical services. All right. Thank you. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Questions for members of the council? Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, how many members of the department are trained to use this equipment?
All of them. All firefighters since 1995 are required to be advanced level support providers. So even the firefighters on the engines and ladders are trained to use this piece of equipment.
And officers of the fire department as well?
Correct. They're all required to maintain that advanced level of care license by contract.
And is there a requirement for continuing education or training on the use of this equipment?
Absolutely. The EMTs, all EMTs in Rhode Island are required to renew their license every 3 years. But our EMS division actually accelerates that, and they train specifically on this piece of equipment at least annually.
And these six advanced systems that are coming in, they have new technology, far superior to what you had before. Will that require additional training?
Yeah, they're similar and operationally to the ones we currently have because it is the same company. It's their next model. So we were looking to replace the current LifePak 15s for the last couple years, but we didn't want to replace it with a model that we knew would be outdated. So the LifePak 35 model was finally released. We got our hands on it. We're able to look at it. And we are in favor of all the technological advances of it. And operationally, it's very similar to the old one. It just has a lot of new technology built into it that they could utilize. And they'll be trained on that by the company.
And what happens with the old ones that are going to be decommissioned?
They're trading in. So if you look at the quote for the prices, we're getting about $4,000 each for the old ones. They're giving us a total of $24,000 in credits on that quote to turn our old ones in, which are no good to us because we can't fix them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Item number five, bid 2025-075, Warwick Fire Department, purchase of 5 2025 Ford Explorer XLT. This is found on page 25. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Chief Peter McMichael, Warwick Fire Department. The fire department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid for the purchase of 5 2025 Ford Explorer XLT administrative vehicles. The vehicles will be purchased from the Colonial Municipal Group under the Greater Boston Council Cooperative Bid. The cost for each vehicle is $54,118.50 for a total cost of all five vehicles of $270,592.50. The total amount, if approved, would be funded by utilizing approved ARPA funds, budget code 510-0400.
Thank you, Chief. So these vehicle prices are kind of below market value, and the reason for that is I see that it's under the Greater Boston Council. So this is where it's power by numbers with the price of the purchase.
That's right, Chairman. And when we purchase these vehicles, anytime we deal with vehicles other than fire apparatus or ambulances, we rely on the expertise of the police department's fleet manager, who has a vast amount of experience, more so than we have in the purchase of these vehicles. So he has the contacts through the different organizations that they routinely purchase through, and he has the expertise for where we can get the best pricing and where they can become available.
Okay, and so these vehicles are... Is there a long wait, or are you aware of a long hold or wait?
They're expected to be in September. September is when they're expected to be in on the lot. So he has a hold on these vehicles now.
Oh, nice.
So we had in the capital budget, we had $275,000 set aside for admin vehicles, and this came in a couple of thousand dollars below that figure.
And these are for the battalion chief?
These will be for command staff.
Yep.
These are command staff vehicles, not the battalion chief vehicles.
Okay.
So command staff, it'll be for command staff members who are required to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that respond back after hours for specific events.
Understood. So that's the explanation of the on-call 24 or the 24 hours a day. It must be prepared and ready to go.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, in your position paper, you state that we are confident the quoted prices for the five vehicles under the Greater Boston Council Cooperative bid are exceptional value. What measures did you take to acquire that confidence that these vehicles are an exceptional value?
So again, we rely on the police fleet manager for this. It was the expertise that he has through his years of purchasing in the police department. So we rely on him to find vehicles for us, and the difference being that we don't require a lot of the things that the police department may require inside of their vehicles, especially when it comes to their marked units and things of that nature that have the cages and things like that, the setup for electronic things such as laptops and things of that nature. We don't require all of that for these vehicles. So we rely on him to find us vehicles that'll suit our needs and vehicles that'll be accessible and that we can get our hands on in a timely manner, especially in regards to the ARPA funds, where there is a deadline for when we have to have these vehicles in our possession.
So did he provide you or the department with a spreadsheet showing comparative prices for similar vehicles, or was it just the statement that this is an exceptional value?
We could see it was an exceptional value of when comparing the prices of these vehicles to some of the more expensive units that are required for law enforcement use that came before you earlier.
But I'm not asking about law enforcement. I'm asking about the fire department and the vehicles that you're requesting, as you said, are, I'll say, scaled down from what's required from the police department. That's understandable. I understand that. But when I read something that says we are confident that this is an exceptional value, I would anticipate receiving documentation in terms of comparative pricing that someone has attained to demonstrate that this is an exceptional value, as opposed to just having something in a position paper stating so. As you've known over the years, numbers are pretty important to me, and so is backup information when things like this are stated. So we actually don't have an analysis of spreadsheets showing, okay, here's the same vehicle elsewhere in this place and that place. And that's what you're relying on.
I don't have that with me this evening, no.
And these vehicles, I understand it's for five of our command staff. Who will be assigned these vehicles?
That'll be myself, both assistant chiefs, our EMS division chief, and our training division chief.
And what's the oldest of those five vehicles that you have now?
The oldest is a, of those I just named, one of the assistant chief vehicles is, actually they're both 2014s. Mine's a 2015. So the vehicle that I'm driving is the last new vehicle purchased for the administration, and that's the 2015 Ford Explorer that currently has 135,000 miles on it. That's the last new vehicle that was purchased for the fire department administration.
Okay. And the oldest is a 2009, did you say?
Right. Some of our staff are driving vehicles as old as 2011.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, 2006. There's a 2006 in the list here, too.
Okay. And you also said that this is because it's a 24/7 vehicle and job. So these vehicles, are they restricted strictly for fire department use as opposed to any personal use?
Yes, they're used for business purposes.
And how does that get monitored?
Oh, we're reasonable. We don't stop somebody from stopping for a gallon of milk on the way home or something like that. But, you know, they are used for responses after hours along with normal workday activities.
Okay. Now, this price of $270,592, does that include lettering these vehicles? Does it include lights and racks and sirens and
that's the total
anything
price.
Else?
That's the total price for everything that'll be needed.
Everything. So when they deliver you the vehicle, you get the keys, you get in it, and you're gone. This thing's ready to rock and roll.
That's right. This even includes the radio installation.
Okay. All right. The other question I have is from CMG. They're charging us $295 for shop supplies. Why are we getting charged $295 for shop supplies to deliver us a brand new vehicle?
So shop supplies would entail anything that's used in the installation of the lights that you saw in that package. There's an extensive lighting package that's required, as well as radio installation, any electronic components that they have to use on their end to install this equipment in these vehicles.
And that's on each vehicle, right?
Yes.
And what is a Whelan FR Duo Inner Edge package? What is that?
So this will be the lighting package that'll be in these vehicles. You'll see these lighting packages that have lights built into the headlights, into the grille, into the over the windshield and the rear.
The emergency response lights.
So it's an extensive package.
All right, thank you, Chief. I'm all set, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Other question comments from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Item number six is bid 2025-082, DPW. I'm not used to seeing you this far down on this list.
I know, I'm usually like one of the first two.
Right. It must have felt nice just watching everyone else have to go.
Yeah, just hanging out over there for a little bit.
Warwick Veterans Middle School Running Track Project. This is found on page 28, Director.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. As you all know, the City Council for the fiscal year 25 budget put a sum of money into our field maintenance budget to redo the running track at Veterans Middle School. We have a quote for the amount of $264,502. This quote comes from the company called Dynamic Sports Construction. This bid is under a purchasing cooperative, much like Sourcewell, which is called TIPS. So we are requesting to issue the award to this company under that governmental pricing. They are ready to mobilize. They have local contractors here that are ready to mobilize, and they understand the timing of school starting. So,
thank you. So they're looking at doing the install
in having it completed this year?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Members of this committee? Yep. Councilwoman Travis, I'll get to you as soon as Councilman get. Do you want me to just go to Councilwoman Travis? Councilwoman Travis, please. Your ward.
Thank you. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello.
So I know you're saying that it's essential that we get started on it. If, did they give you a timeline? If they started soon, how long it would take to complete?
So we would have to get the purchase order issued first, which I can request to do tomorrow if it's approved tonight. It will probably take a day or two for that to happen, but it the whole project in itself will probably take... I apologize. I read this a few weeks ago. Do we have a timeline of how long? How long the project will take? Okay. Okay. So it may spill into the school year a little bit, but the majority of the construction work will be completed prior to school starting towards the end of August. As soon as we can get them a purchase order, then we can get all the final details ironed out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councilman, thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Gebhardt.
So, hi, Christy.
Hello.
So I think we had appropriated 500,000.
Yes.
So good to see that this is coming in at 265. Any thoughts on kind of next priority, or is there any risk around the price here? Are there any conditions that could cause it to be more, less?
The only condition you see, there's an ad alternate in there, which right now we're not requesting. We're expecting that the subsurface of the existing track right now is, it should be in decent shape. If it's not, then our department will take a look at it because it is asphalt below that. So we'll take a look at it and see if that's something that we can do in-house. We do have a roller, we have a paving box. If not, then we'll have to assess at that point how we move it forward.
Okay, great. Yeah, I spoke with Mr. Gothberg today and he said it had been inspected and looked to be pretty good, but that there could be a chance, but hopefully not. And hopefully we can do some other things to get ready for when our fields are consumed by the school project. So thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening.
I just wanted to point out, I think this is a very creative and great way to tackle a problem that has kind of always been like a division school and city and appropriations for that. And I think this was a creative way to address a particular problem, that this track is something that not just the students use, but the community could use. I thought it was a creative way to do that during the budget process. So I just want to thank my colleagues for their support, the mayor and the administration for bringing this forward. I think this is a good example of, you know, we're all one Warwick and tackling a problem that needed to be handled. So I just want to thank my colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I was just looking over the proposal as well. I think it's wonderful to see the administration staying on with this and hopefully be able to get this done before the beginning of the school year for an amount that was less than we had initially estimated. I suppose one of my questions is to follow up on a statement that you had made about the asphalt work being performed in-house if necessary. It's my understanding that typically when it comes to actually replacing asphalt such as sidewalks, roads, things of that nature, that we would go with an outside contractor. So I just wanted to check with you as to exactly what type of work would be done in-house as to the asphalt on the track in the event that that work is necessary?
That's something that we would have to look at once the existing track is removed. So I couldn't really speak to any sort of scope of work right now on that. So unfortunately, I don't really have a definitive answer for you. It's entirely dependent on the condition of what the subsurface is right now. We're not anticipating any issues with it. That's why we're not requesting that extra $156,000. If there are issues or spotty issues, then we'll address those at that time.
Okay. I also, I suppose, on that topic, does the city have the ability to do any type of road milling or resurfacing beyond, say, simple pothole repair, crack repair, things of that nature?
No, we don't have that kind of machinery.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think so. I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding that earlier comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Christy, what was the date you had stated to Councilwoman Travis as to, I guess, I think she asked when would it begin or when will it be completed? What was the time frame you gave her?
I didn't give a definitive time frame. We have to work out the details with the contractor. Obviously, they're not going to, you know, mobilize prior to any authorization. That would be poor business on their part. So, but being a regular contractor in this industry, they do have the ability to provide us with the material. They have a local they have local contractors here in Rhode Island. So once we get everything worked out, they can start as soon as possible. But it's just a matter of, you know, getting back with them and saying, okay, we have approval now. I mean, I personally wouldn't you know, spend the money on materials if I didn't know if I was going to be awarded the job. So obviously we have to let them know that we have the approval. So the first step would be issuing the purchase order.
No, I wouldn't expect anybody to spend any money before they got approval, but I certainly would expect that a simple question to be, if you are awarded this job, when can you start? And when will it be completed? And that's something that occurs every day in every construction contract. That's just something that is typically requested.
Councilman, I'm going to ask, from the comments you made, I'm going to ask the chief of staff. I saw you approach the microphone. Chief.
Hi, Bill Facenti, chief of staff. Councilman, to your point, this was, you know, because of the way the school projects are working, the high school projects, they're moving very quickly, and we need to get this project going as soon as possible. So this project will start as soon as possible and be completed, substantially completed, prior to school starting.
By school starting, meaning in September?
Well, it starts sometime beginning of August, and end of August, beginning of September. Yeah, depending on, the idea is to get substantial completion by school starting, so there's no interruption at vets. A definitive schedule, we can't get that until we get them the award.
Chief, with all due respect, you know, we've been hearing for years about promises and schedules and completions and when all these things are going to take place. And what I'm looking at here now is school starting, let's use a September 1st start date. It's about 6 weeks from now. And in the bid documents, I'm looking at something that says, please allow a minimum of 60 days from receipt of the contract for our administrative credit approval and material manufacturing process to be completed prior to mobilization.
Okay.
So based upon the information that they're giving us, I don't see how it's even possible that they're going to have this track even started, let alone completed by that time. So it's just important that the information that's being provided to you folks and to us is real, as opposed to this pie in the sky thing.
Okay.
So, Councilman, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear the chief's reply to your statement.
So the school department is managing this project, and they've had numerous conversations with this vendor with regards to time frame, timing, and setup. They're ready to go except for the purchase order. So they're anticipating this. So there should be no delay as long as this gets approved tonight. If it doesn't get approved tonight, there will be a delay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Okay, so Chairman, with all due respect, if I could continue without being interrupted, I'd appreciate it.
Well, Councilman, you made it. Councilman, if I may,
the chief of staff has the ability to answer and direct.
I don't want to talk over people's voices, but I would like to say, you said pie in the sky. You made some accusations. You made some statements. I think it's only fair that the administration or whomever you're indicating that to have an opportunity to answer that. And I took it at first as a question that became a statement, but they were valid statements, valid questions I wanted to hear an answer to. So
The chief is very capable of being able to address those issues on his own, you know, without any interruptions.
Well, there
and
was
by
no
the way,
interrupt.
I didn't That's, make accusations.
I asked
I
you
made
to hold
statements.
On. All right. So okay. We're not going to yell. I asked you to hold on so that the chief could make those, because you made it in a general forum, in a public forum, you made your statements. I wanted to give the same courtesy to the chief. You now have the floor again. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief, I truly feel that you have the ability to handle this all on your own. In addition to that, it says this bid excludes, and Councilman Ricks touched on it, design work, grading, concrete, asphalt paving, corrective work to paving or concrete for polarity, drainage, slope, and damage, etc., which can run into some serious amounts of money when you start running into this site stuff, particularly with drainage, particularly with slope, et cetera. It also doesn't include temporary fencing, job security permits, and payments and performance bonds. So do you have a number that's going to equate to? Because I'm assuming that whatever that number is going to be coming out of the $500,000 that Councilman Gebhardt just alluded to. So I'll back up again. Do you have a number to those items that this bid excludes?
So to answer part of your question, the school department is being awarded $264,502. Whatever the track costs, that's this authority right now. We're not adding anything extra for grading, sloping, okay, concrete work, security fencing, or temporary fencing. There's a fence around the track, so they can lock, they can close the track. The school department can.
So any expenses that exceed that is on the school department. Is that what you're saying?
It would either be on the school department, or we would have to come back for authority to bid.
Have to come back to us.
Correct. If we're spending the city money that was allocated in the city budget, yes.
To chip
if the school
away
department
the
is spending their funds, then they do it however they do it through the school committee.
To chip away at the 500,000.
If they're chipping away at the 500,000, then right now they're getting $262,502.
And if this gets approved as of tonight, it's actually 256,000 that will be remaining out of the 500, right? I think I heard a number earlier of 156, right?
Sure.
256, okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for answering those questions.
Anytime.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further comments, questions for members of the council? Comments, questions for members of the public? Comment right into the microphone, please identify. Thank you.
Hi, Sean Rainey, Ward 1. I just have a question of how much of this 500, first of all, I want to make a statement that it was a great idea to put 500,000 away, but this is what we get when we put it into, when we have three hands going into these pots. Great idea, but now this probably could have already been started, but now we have to go through this process to get this $263,000. So it probably would have been done by the time school opened, if it's not by now. Just great idea, just there's too many moving pots in that allocation. With the rest of the money, where is this money going to go to? With the balance of the funds,
if you don't mind, Mr. Rainey, I'll so the money was during the budget process. This money did not exist. There was an amendment made by members of this council at the end of the budget to create this fund. on top of the money that the city already gave to the school department to address the issue of the track. And once that was allocated, then this project came forward. So that's where this process came from, because the money was not in the budget originally. It was not allocated. It was the advocacy of members of this council that got the money in the budget. So the money is actually coming from the city side. And as the chief said, as the chief said, this money that we're allocating is to address the track. If there's anything else pertaining to that field, which is what the money was allocated for, it would come back to this council at the request of the administration, come back to this council and request with the reasoning as to why or what updates or what additions they are requesting.
So my question is, originally the school department had a $900,000 budget that was cut for stuff to be done at Vets for when the schools are being built and then we have to fix the fields over at Vets. There was a $900,000 number that they needed to get Vets ready to go for the students and the athletes and everything to be ready to go for a good place to play, because it's going to be overloaded. Now 263 for the track is great, but I'm just asking, where is the balance going to go to? Is it going to go to something else at Vets, or is it going to the DPW? Is it going to a rainy day fund? Is it going to wherever? That's what I'm asking. Where is the balance going to go?
As of right now, it's in an account for fields. We can't say what it is. The request has to be made to the city. The city would then have to come to the city. As I mentioned earlier, I understand what you said about there was an allocated amount at the beginning and it got negotiated. That was the request of members of this council that said, hey, this is important to us. We're going to put it forward. So as far as where the rest of the money goes, unknown at this time, it's a request that is made and worked out and presented to the council.
Okay, so the school department can come back and say, yes, we want to use the 263 for this.
It is allocated to fields. That's exactly what the money was allocated.
Okay, that's the bottom of the question, I guess.
There you go.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Any further questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you.